We born again Christians are soldiers for Christ. We are part of the Lord's army. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, if you'd like to turn it to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and as he's writing to Timothy and encouraging him in the ministry, he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. He writes, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So we see our position here. The Lord enlisted us in his army when we said, "I do," to Jesus. We can't say, "No, but I don't want to be part of that." God says, "You are." And he says, "You must endure hardship as a good soldier for Jesus Christ." You know, on this earth, God works through his vessels, through his army. That's how he gets his work done, through us. He could have used angels or angelic beings or something else. But he said, "I'm going to use you to do my work." That's what's exciting. When we become a Christian, we have a reason for being here, and it's the Lord, to get his word out. You know, but we need to know and believe in a couple of things concerning the Lord's soldiers. Number one, we are in a constant battle. There's not one person that walked in here today that is not in a battle. We don't go looking for them. Number one, we're in a battle and we're on the front lines. We're not in some office doing the paperwork. We're on the front lines, every soldier for Christ, every Christian, we're on the front lines. We're on the battlefield and not on the playground. Now, a lot of people would like to be on the playground. "Hey, I'm a Christian, now I can take it easy in life." Nope. You're not on the playground, you're on the battlefield. We're on the battlefield. And secondly, we need to be dressed and equipped and trained properly to fight this battle, or we will fall. We won't stand. That's why people get depressed, discouraged, addicted to things, give up on life, commit suicide. They can't handle the battle. And there's only one way we can, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is our strength. He's our might. You're in the battle. Isn't there times in life where you think you got everything all together? Wow, there's been these problems, but now it's all okay. The family, the finances, the spiritual life. I've got it all under control. And then the next day it's another thing. That's life. Because we're not in heaven. That's life. And we need to be dressed properly and equipped to gain victory in this battle. We have to have defensive weapons and offensive weapons. And God gives us both. Next week, the second part of this, when we finish Ephesians 6, we'll get into those weapons. And we have both defensive and offensive weapons. But then we need to know who the enemy is. Who is the enemy? And understand how he works. Christians, we are here to save souls for God's kingdom. First of all, ourselves. It's a battleground, a fight for souls. There's this severe battle for souls going on. You know, Jesus laid down his life for us, for me, so that my soul could be saved, so that I can go to heaven. But we need to be prepared for warfare. And we need to know the enemy is stronger than us in our flesh. In our flesh, the enemy, Satan, is stronger than me in my flesh. I need to know that. In my own power, in my own strength, he is stronger. You know, you can wake up or you can have New Year's resolutions or make resolutions or promises every day, and it takes a few days and they fall through because you don't have the strength to do it. oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then you don't do it. And you feel sorry, and you're beating yourself up and say, oh, what's the matter with me? Why can't I do this? Because you're trying to do it in your own flesh. The attack is great. Temptation is great. But there is a way to have victory. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's speaking to Christians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I'm glad he didn't say, be strong, Jim. Don't you hate it when you're going through something and some friend likes to console you and they come up, come on, be strong. You're saying, get out of here. All I need is some help in prayer right now. Don't encourage me to be strong. I'm weak. I'm beaten. I need help. Help me. So we need to be strong in the Lord. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that tells me that I'm not strong in myself. I need to be strong in the Lord and in his might. Is there anything that God can't do? Just think about something going on in your life right now that just really got you down and you can't figure it out and it won't work out. Just think about it. And then ask yourself this question. Cannot God work it out? Of course he can. Then why are you staying up at night? Because this foolish flesh gets thinking and thinking of another way to help it out, another way to do it, another telephone call to make, another thing to try, and you just go through it. We're so foolish, aren't we? We need to just give up. This is a paradox, isn't it? In the Christian life, you give up and you gain victory. In real life, you give up and you lose. In our life, we give up and God wins through us. You know, I got this bookmarker once when I was at a church sharing, and it says, let go and let God. And that's really true. Let go and let God. Just get your hands off. Maybe even church this morning, you were thinking earlier, maybe I can call this person and this will help, or I can do this or that. Let go and let God. He loves you. If you're a Christian, you're his child. We're his sons and his daughters. So he says, be strong in the Lord. I'm here for you and in the power of his might. Did you ever wake up and feel, I am so weak, I don't know that I can go through another day? And God's saying, you don't have to. Be strong in me. Just let me handle your day today. I want to do it. I want to handle it for you. But be strong in the Lord, not make a commitment that you're going to do it. God is just waiting for us to give up and say, Lord, I can't do it. You know, the world is so wrong. They so misuse the Bible and the Word of God. People will say, well, God, you know, helps those that help themselves. That is not in the Bible. It is contrary to the Word of God. God helps those that can't help themselves. Isn't that great? Verse 10, don't battle the enemy in your own strength. Know that. You have the Lord. He is your power. And we have been given armor. When I read about this in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, I think of those old knights in England with the armor on. That was kind of heavy, I think, wasn't it? Man, that had to be really heavy with that helmet, the armor, everything, the big thing there that they fought with, and then the sword. But this armor actually is stronger than that and very light. God just puts it on us, you know, covers us with it if we do this. And so don't battle the enemy in your own strength. We've been given armor, defensive part and an offensive part, an offensive weapon. And the first key to fight with that armor on is be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Use what he is giving you, not yourself. The good news is we are weak and we're not strong enough in the flesh, but the Lord is strong. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. Remember this, at Paul speaking, you know, he had a sort of was taken up into heaven and heard things. And he says in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. See, he had a thorn in the flesh, an affliction that could have hindered him from preaching and teaching. And he prayed 3 times. He pleaded with the Lord, please take this away. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For therefore, if I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, he found out this beautiful truth. When he's weak and not counting on himself, then he's strong. The Bible says, pride cometh before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proud people will fall. That's God's word. That's a promise. They are not going to make it. They are going to fall. They're going to crumble. Things aren't going to prosper. Because God says, pride cometh before destruction. The 7 things God hates, one of them, pride. He cannot stand pride because it means man is standing over himself and not God. But when a person gives up and humbles themselves before the Lord, then the Bible says, he will lift you up. Now, I'd rather have God take care of me than me myself. He can do a much better job. But the flesh is so prideful. That's one subject that we can't teach on properly. Because as soon as we think we got it together and I stand up here and give you a message on pride, then I'm being proud. I came up with a message on pride. I'm going to write a book on it. How not to be proud. Now, wouldn't that be kind of proud? You can't teach on that because we're all proud. If we touch it, we get proud. If someone says something we don't like, you know, you could walk in the door this morning, oh, how lovely you look today. Is that a new dress? You know, you look so great. Did you get your hair done? Hey, you're my friend. I like you. But if you walked in and say, do you have the flu? You don't look too well. The old pride, like, ooh, but I'm not proud. As long as no one says anything against me. You see, it's strong. It's really strong. And Paul says, I've got to be humble and weak and let the Lord lift me up. Did you ever try to lift something that was too heavy for you? What did you do? You called for help. Did you ever try to take off a cap and you're just not strong enough to take it off? What do? You have somebody else do it for you. Great to have those people around, isn't it? You see, because you can't do it, but they can. In our case, we can't do it, but he can, because he's strong enough. See, Paul was brought to that point where he understood that. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God. Now look at this verse. Now thanks be to God who always, is that in your Bible, always? Always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. We're like a beautiful perfume everywhere we go in the Lord. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. I don't always lead myself in triumph. He does. If I'm following him, he'll lead me in victory. We are weak, but he is strong. We are in a spiritual battle. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in him. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, if you're still in 2 Corinthians 10, verse, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare, they aren't ours, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You see, our weapons of warfare are not going to be carnal, not going to be fleshly. Our weapons are mighty in God and pulling down strongholds. Maybe there's a stronghold you need to pull down in your life today. It's going to be brought down by the Lord, by going to the Lord and applying what we're going to read this week and next week. That's how it's going to happen. Know yourself and know the power of God. We're limited. He's not. And know the Lord loves you and wants to act on your behalf. And you're strong in him. Psalm 33, verse 17. There's a few verses here to help us, encourage us. Psalm 33, verse 17. A horse is a vain hope for safety. That's the best thing they had in that day. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. It's not really going to deliver you. That's not the way to victory. Go back to Psalm 20, verse 7. What do we do? Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, Jehovah. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Don't trust in chariots or horses or whatever it is you're trusting in or the world trusts in. They're a vain thing. They can't help. So we trust in the Lord. And then we get into verse 11, Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. This is what we do. We put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So this tells us who the enemy is. The devil, Satan, Lucifer. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles or schemings of the devil and his followers. Did you ever wonder what's going on? You're not feeling good. Things don't seem right. Your spiritual walk doesn't seem right. And things aren't going well. You're kind of discouraged. And you can't pinpoint what it is. You just say, I just don't know what it is. But it just things aren't right or I don't feel good. It's the old enemy attacking you. He wants to rip you and I apart. He wants to get us away from the Lord. Keep us away from the Lord. He's our enemy. Your husband isn't the enemy. Your wife isn't the enemy. Your children aren't the enemy. Your parents aren't the enemy. Your coworkers aren't the enemy. Satan is the enemy, and he uses all those things and people to get you upset. When things aren't going right, when things seem to be against you and everyone's against you, run into the arms of the Lord. You know that song we sang today? Be still and know that I am God. Put your head upon his breast. And hear the beating of his heart. That's where we go when these things are coming and attacking. We lay our head on his breast and say, Father, help me. I need you. Because the enemy is Satan. Protect me. Keep him away. Keep me from temptation. Pray. You see, the enemy is Satan. But he gets this divisive thinking we're the enemy with each other. A house divided cannot stand. That's true for a nation. It's true for a household. It's true for a church, for anything. A house divided cannot stand. So he's the divider. And people fall prey and get arrogant and proud and call people names and do all kinds of weird things. And, and divide. That's, and Satan's sitting back going, ha, ha, ha. How do we defeat him? By putting on the whole armor of God, loving each other, standing on the word of God, not giving into that, not lowering ourselves to their level or to his level. So we know that he is the enemy, and it's not some man, woman, country, human being, some thing. It's the devil himself and his followers. You see, he's not alone. We are the army of the Lord, and there is this and followers of the enemy devil. But first of all, in 11, we first put on the whole armor of God so that we can end up standing against the wiles or schemings of the devil. He's wily. You know, but you notice it says in here, put on the whole armor of God. Not one piece, not two pieces, but the whole armor of God from head to toe. We cover ourselves completely, as we're going to read next week, what this armor is, each part. It covers from head to toe. You can't say, well, you know, I've got a strong faith, but I don't have a good prayer life. Or, you know, I don't share the gospel, but I live right. No, you've got to put on the whole armor of God and do exactly what he says to do so that we're safe. You put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We will stand because it's protective. And we don't have to fear the enemy. We put on the full armor. We need God's armor, not our own. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Please turn there, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, he's your enemy, the devil. He's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Can you just imagine that? He just wanting to rip people apart and swallow them up. He wants you to devour you. But with the whole armor of God, he's a toothless lion. He's just a pet. When you put on the whole armor of God. See, we have our own flesh, our understanding, our limited knowledge, our limited strength. We don't count on ourselves. We count on God, and we put on the whole armor of God. But if you don't, the devil will rip you apart. He will rip you apart. He'll destroy you. He'll keep you away from God. So we put on the whole armor of God. If you're still in 1 Peter 5, I love the two verses before it, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast all your care upon the Lord. He cares for you. Maybe you feel unloved. No one loves you or cares. No one seems to want to help. Cast all your cares upon your daddy in heaven. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants to take care of you. But he asks for us to pray and to seek and to knock. That's casting our cares upon him. Saying, help me. Answer me. You do it, Lord. We must do that. We must say, okay, I'm casting my cares upon you and not keeping them to myself. And he will take care of you. Put on the whole armor of God, and you will be able to stand against the scheming of the devil. You know, he uses different strategies to attack us. False doctrine. There's a big attack on the Word of God today. There's a lot of false doctrine out there. Quoting the Bible wrong. Accepting things that are sin. There's a lot today. Don't fall for it. Pretty soon the world won't look like it did 2,000 years ago if it keeps getting more liberal and liberal. God's word never changes. Never. It doesn't go with the times. God set it in stone once and that's it. I love things that don't change. What about you? Seems to me they're changing everything. We spend most of the day saying, oh, it used to be so much better then. Or remember how this place used to be. Oh, this restaurant used to be so good. Why did they close it? Or we used to go here on vacation. Boy, it's so nice. Now it's crummy, you know? And we can go on all day, it seems, about how much better it was before. And you know what? It was. We're not just saying that. It was better. We had a better day. Things are going downhill because we're morally decayed. It's called godlessness. And when a society is without God, it goes downhill. Every empire that ever existed in the world fell from within. And that's how it happens. We can't take God out of things and expect to stand. There was a better day. We Christians, thank God, have a better day and a better day coming forever and ever and ever. Won't it be great? Just a wonderful place. Good neighbors. Things never changing. All the good things are going to last. And it'll be wonderful. And it'll be morally right. You know, what did Jesus do when he was tempted in the wilderness? Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, when he was tempted in the wilderness, he didn't say, I'm tougher than you, Satan. He didn't argue. He just quoted scripture each time. And that's one of the things, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which we're going to get into next week. That's part of the armor of God. Don't fight him on your own. Jesus himself used the word of God, and at the end of that chapter in Matthew says, and the devil left him. He said, there's no way he can get him. He's using the word of God. Aren't you glad this doesn't change? People might come to you and say, well, it's okay to do this today. Everybody's doing it. You say, that's not what God's word says. It still says here, it's not okay to do. Peter, remember Peter, follower of Jesus? He thought he was smarter than Jesus. No, it's not going to be so. They're not going to take you. I'll protect you, Jesus, you know. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. That's Satan talking through you. You don't know your flesh. He says, I'll never deny you. These other guys, I'm much better than them. They'll deny you, but not Peter. I'm with you, Lord. And I've got the sword, too. I'll be here to protect you. What did he end up doing? Denying him three times. He counted on his flesh. He was proud. But you know what? Jesus prayed for him. That he says, Peter, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. You know, if you read Luke, you know, in the book of Luke, it talks about that. Luke 22. And he wants to sift you and I as wheat. He wants to get us. Get us against the Lord. Get proud. Jesus prayed for him. So another thing, don't underestimate the enemy or overestimate yourself. Don't underestimate the enemy and don't overestimate yourself. No, you are weak. Satan is not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent like God is. Not all-knowing, not all-powerful, not present everywhere. So he can't do it all, but he has helpers. He has followers. He has demons. There are demonic forces. See, when Satan fell, he rebelled against God, and it's believed, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 4, that a third of the angels in heaven fell with him when he was cast to earth. Turn to Revelation, chapter 12, verse 4. Here's where we see that. Revelation 12, verse 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. That speaks of him waiting to swallow up the Christ child when he was born. But it says there a third of the stars of heaven came down to the earth with him. Now, That's how he fell, because of pride. Turn back to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. In Isaiah 14, verse 12. Ho, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the earth. He says, hey, you know what? I'm going to be like God. And he was cast down to the earth because of pride. And then he drew many with him. So there's these demons in his army. And in verse 12 in Ephesians 6, we see where they're called different things. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, it'd be a lot easier if you could see your enemy. And you say, okay, we'll find a way to wipe them out. But you can't see them. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, they're called principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. They're called different things. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. It's sort of like our political and military system. The same exists in the spirit world. When you read these words and you translate them, they're like different levels of authority and beings submitting to Satan. Just like we would have our political system and our different leaders, and from the top to the bottom, and the soldiers. We're fighting against principalities, people high ruling places, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, the people, those demons down here, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So they have this army, which is an organized system of evil. Now, we can't see that. Today, people, you know, they think everything spiritual is good. You know, have some spirituality and holiness. They get into all kinds of things and religions, like it's cool. You believe in that, I believe in this. Hey, what's good for you is good for you. That's fine. Let's just accept everything. They don't understand the dark side of that. You know, in the past, I've counseled, you know, when I was doing a lot of counseling when I was at Calvary Costa Mesa, it seems when the Jesus movement was on years ago, there was a lot of dark things going on too. And I can remember counseling young girls and people and seeing demons cast out of people, but they'd come in for counseling and say, well, we started off with a Ouija board and we opened up our life to that. And then it seems we started seeing all kinds of things. And now like see this thing in our garage and we're scared and we don't know how to get rid of it. And it seems like something's attacking us. And it was very evident there was a lot of dark things going on. Today, people just are so open to evil that it doesn't even look evil to them, you see? But it's real. I mean, I remember counseling a lady who was, you know, more of an elderly lady, not some young person that's impressionable, but very stable, well-to-do elderly lady that lived in Long Beach and called one day at the church and said, I was really into witchcraft, demonism and all of that. I've got all the books, all the paraphernalia, and it's there in my house. And I don't want to touch it because I've given my life to the Lord because I know how dangerous it is. Things will start flying across the kitchen, into the wall. And she was a serious person, not some crazy person like people would write off. So she got someone to get it all out of her house. And she says, if I have it driven to the church, they'll empty it. Would you burn it while I watch? Because I don't want to pass it on to other people. She says, I know how dangerous it is. It got me, and I committed a lot of evil because of it. And I don't want to pass it on. I says, okay, I'll do that. So she came down to the church, and there was a big plot in the back. And we got this big barrel, like those oil barrels and all. They threw all the stuff into that barrel, put kerosene or gasoline on it. And she says, Don't get too close. Don't get too close. I don't know what's going to happen. She was really paranoid about this because she had seen things in her house. So we lit it, burned it. It was burning and burning. And she says, I'm not leaving till I see every single thing burned. And she waited till it was. And she says, I'm free. It's real. There are people involved in this stuff. And it's real. They take Halloween lightly. It's celebrating evil. You know, we just take everything so lightly today. Even bring it into the church. It's real. But we've become numb to it. And Satan's saying, well, I don't even have to get scary. I can do this in a neat way and fool people. We're fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's why most young people don't follow the Lord. They get educated in school and know better and don't believe in God anymore. He's having a field day, Satan. They take things lightly and think it's nothing. We need to know, first of all, there is a battle. We're in it and we're part of it. And we need to be standing for the Lord. So know the battle is spiritual, not fleshly. And when it says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, you know what wrestling means? Close combat. We're not firing from afar. We're wrestling. I don't know if you ever wrestled, but when you're wrestling, it's pretty nasty. You know, and we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's hand-to-hand combat. It's fierce. With an enemy you can't see. That's spiritual warfare. And fleshly weapons aren't going to work. The wrestling is against an organized, ranked army of evil forces. And people are getting watered down, brainwashed, and thinking, it's nothing cool. You know, it's nothing bad. I'm cool. But we're seeing what's happening. People are fading away from the Lord. You know, falling prey to Satan. Remember this, we're on the winning team. Just put on the whole armor of God. Without it, we're losers. We stand because we're strong in the Lord, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Therefore, our last verse today, verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, not just a part of it, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Take up the whole armor of God, not part of it. You know, be wise so that in the evil day you will be able to withstand, that you may be able to withstand, and then having done all, to stand. I mean, the tsunami comes in your life. That flood comes at times. I mean, it's just overwhelming. You know what a tsunami is like? It's just overwhelming, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't stop it. And it just takes everything in its path. And that's the way Satan and his followers attacks us. He says, wow, I'm going to just bring it on them and destroy them. Whew. If you don't have the whole armor of God on, you won't stand. And you won't withstand that storm. You'll be in it, and it'll be miserable for you. You know, things come. The attack comes, and it's fierce. You know, as we shared earlier, we're in a financial need in our church. But we pray for wisdom. We have to put on the whole armor of God and just stand and say, God, you're our help. Satan is attacking because he doesn't want the word of God being taught. Many churches that just teach the word of God are being stressed. He does not want truth out there. He doesn't want our young people coming to the Lord. He wants them to be able to live together and feel comfortable about it. And it's not called fornication to them. Everybody's doing it. And we can go on and on with many of the issues in life right now. You see, the attack is fierce. And the thing that stands is the word of God against this. And so Satan says, well, if I can just get people to doubt the Bible or to seek topical messages or just wanting to feel good, then I've got them. Because then they're not going to hear truth. They're not going to hear about sin or be convicted. I don't know about you, But I like the real thing. Because I didn't have the real thing before I was a Christian, my wife and I. We had something else. But I knew in my heart there was something else because I wasn't satisfied. I knew there's got to be. I'm a guy that likes, I'm a black and white guy. I just like truth. I mean, I don't like compromise. You know, if I'm going to believe in something, I'm going to believe in it. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I just live that simply. And I wanted the truth. And when I walked into that church one day and heard the word of God, I said, that's it. What a feeling that was. I don't know if you can remember when you got saved, but when we walked in the back of that church and heard the book of Revelation being taught, I says, that's it. That's what I've been looking for. I'm done with all this lying stuff. That's truth. And from that point on, it was real to me, and I can't believe people would choose something else. When you hear truth, you're done searching. You can just live by the truth. And it was a wonderful day. See, Satan doesn't want that. He wants people to think there's many ways or there's different types of religion and spirituality so that they don't get too into this. It's okay to believe some of the stuff that Jesus said, but this other stuff, that's ancient. That's for the old days. You know, that's what your parents used to live by, that old-time religion. You know what? That song, that old-time religion, it's good enough for me. It's good enough for me. If it's true, you want it. So that's why there's an attack on the church, on people's houses, on Christians. The attack coming in your life, whatever it is, comes in waves. And you ever say it can't get any worse, and you wake up the next day and it gets worse. But doesn't mean God isn't still on the throne. He's there, and we're going to stand if we stand in truth and in the Word of God and don't compromise. But we must take up the whole Word of God. Remember what David said to Goliath? I'm coming at you, and I'm going to take you down because the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you that we'll be able to stand in the storm. We thank you for truth. We thank you that your word is truth, and it never changes. We thank you that good is good and evil is evil, and it'll always be that way. Lord, it's great to not have things change. We know we're going to be in heaven because your word says we will, if we believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We thank you for that, Lord. We know if one doesn't, they won't go to heaven. And that's never going to change. Lord, to have truth is wonderful. But Lord, let us never get proud or think we can handle things in the flesh. Let us know we need you. Every day, every hour, every minute, we need you, Lord. And the good news is you love us and you want to take care of us. Help us to just lay everything at your feet today and leave here victorious, knowing you will take care of us. Free us from any stress or pressure or anxiety or worry. Bless us physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, in all ways, Lord, whatever you have for us in life. Just take care of us. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.